We've managed to reach part seven of our series on fasting. But what we've learned during this series, particularly about fasting, you think, oh no, not fasting again. But what you learn is that when you open up the Bible and you look for fasting, what you get is all sorts of stuff, don't you? You get all sorts of good, solid, golden nuggets of God's wisdom, his way, his will, his love, as we look for this. So when you hear the word fasting, just think, yes, I wonder what we're going to discover today. So first of all, who said this? If we go to the PowerPoint, please. Can anyone tell me who quoted this? Who said Bob Marley? Did you say this? Here we go. It wasn't Bob Marley. Read it properly. Who said, show up, grow up, stand up for the fight? Maynard. Yes, it's... If we go to the next slide. There we go. Maynard Marley. Yeah, I don't know what Bob Marley said. He said something like, stand up, get up. Was it get up, stand up, stand up for your rights? Yeah. Well, Maynard taught us last week, show up, grow up, stand up for the fight, didn't he? Aren't we so blessed to have so many gifted people in our congregation who teach, but all do all sorts of things as well. Because if it was just your pastor, then all you get is fasting one, fasting every week, wouldn't you? But because we have so many gifted people in this church that come and share what God has put in their heart, you get all sorts of different messages from all sorts of different angles that God wants to speak just direct to one person. One day, if just one person showed up who needed God to speak to, God would direct that message to them. And you'll get something from it as well. But so we're so blessed. Anyway, on the subject of fasting, we've discovered over these weeks that there are so many benefits to fasting. And here's just eight of them. Fighting the flesh or subduing sin is one of the benefits of why we fast. Another one is we reap a reward. Jesus promised that God the Father rewards us when we fast, and two other things as well, pray and giving and fasting. So we mourn the more. We mourn that we know there's more, and we mourn that Jesus is not with us in flesh anymore, but actually it's better for us that he's in the spirit. But we mourn that sense of, Lord, we know there's more. It helps us to observe obedience as well. It helps to evict evil. It helps to further our faith. It helps us to be humbled for God to help us. And it also helps us to be humbled to hear God's voice and to know his direction. So that's just eight. But seeing as our board is filled up with what we've learned already, we'll get on to some other things, not just the whys of fasting, but the hows and the whens. Okay, so to do that, I just want us to refresh our memories of the threefold activities that bless our Father so much when we engage in them that he says, or Jesus said, that he will reward you. Why do parents reward their children? No. That's bribing. We don't reward our children to keep them quiet. We bribe our children to keep them quiet. We reward our children to promote the same kind of behavior, don't we? I see that. That was really good. I want you to do that again. Yeah? And Jesus said, our Father in heaven, there's three things that we do, even if no one else sees, our Father sees, and he will reward us. Why? Because it is good for us. It is good for other people as well. He wants us to reward us. I like doing this. This is good. I want to do more of this. Okay, so the three activities are, and if you can't see the bottom of the board, it was prayer, giving, and fasting. In your memories, what order did Jesus put it in his Sermon on the Mount? Was it prayer, giving, and fasting, or was it a different order? Can you remember? Jesus mentioned them in Okay, we'll find out, shall we? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll read aloud together. Turn there in your Bibles, or if not, it's up there on the screen. And let's read together. And we've got a fair few verses to read together. Let's go. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Ah, that's it. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Jesus mentioned giving, praying, and fasting. Now, we've already discovered these words of Jesus explore the amazing truth that our giving, our praying, and our fasting reaps a reward from our Heavenly Father. Now, let's notice a couple of other interesting points. Now, firstly, notice, we'll keep that one on the screen, notice that Jesus adds the word when to the subject of giving, praying, and fasting. He didn't add the word if you pray. He said, and carefully he chose these words, we can assume. I don't think Jesus' words were wasted at all, ever. I think he carefully, what he said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. He said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Does Jesus expect his people to give? Yeah. Pray? Fast? Yeah. Does Jesus anticipate that you will fast? Yes? Okay. Now, during his time on earth, Jesus made a fair few prophetic when-yous. When you statements. Prophetic when you statements about groups of people and about individuals. Such as, he made a couple of when you statements about his best friend, Simon Peter, in the next slide. He said this about Peter. He said, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Did that happen? Did that come true? Yeah, later on. And Jesus said this again about Simon Peter, Luke 22. It says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Did it happen? Yeah, he was tested when he denied Jesus three times. But did his faith fail? No. Did he turn back? Yeah. Did he strengthen his brothers? Yeah. So here's two prophetic when you statements that Jesus made about someone and they came true. Okay? Has Jesus ever made any prophetic when you statements about you? Have they come true? Okay, let's see, shall we? And then there's a when you statement that Jesus made about or towards the woman at the well from Samaria. Do you remember that one? There we go. Let's go to the next slide. John 4:21. Jesus said to the woman, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus was talking about true worship, which would be not about a place, but it would be in spirit and truth, a relationship where you could engage your Heavenly Father and worship him, not in a place or go on a pilgrimage or do anything really apart from in spirit and truth. And that would only come after Jesus' death, his resurrection and ascension, when he paid the price for your sin. That meant you could be born again, washed clean by his blood, his payment on the cross. And then once you're washed clean, a new creation on the inside, given a new spirit, then he can send his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. A Holy Spirit can now be joined with your new sinless spirit. And suddenly, you can now worship the Father in spirit and truth. Not just in sacrificing animals, not just in doing different laws like other religions have. There was now this relationship. You could come directly to your Father in heaven by prayer. Even though you're on this earth, you have this direct connection and relationship by spirit. You could come before your Father in heaven and worship him. Seek him. Praise him. Ask, knock for things as well. Prayer. Okay? Jesus was talking about a time when this would happen. He said to the Samaritan woman, when you will worship your Father in spirit and in truth. So, did that happen to the lady? Well, she, immediately Jesus spoke to her, she went away and was an evangelist, wasn't she? She believed in him and she told her whole village, come and see the man that I've just spoken about. He knows everything about me. This could be the Messiah. And sure enough, others began to believe in Jesus' world because of her word, and then they met him for himself and they said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. We've met him. We've seen him. We know he's the Messiah, okay? So what we can assume is after Jesus' death and his resurrection and the Holy Spirit came, we can assume that this woman would have been one of the first people to be born again and receive the Spirit because of her faith and her relationship already, okay? But also, Jesus wasn't just talking about her. This when you is talking about, I think, everyone who comes into this new spirit and truth relationship with God. So this when you statement was about you too. Has it become true for you yet? Do you worship the Father in spirit and truth? Because Jesus said that's who God is seeking. True worshippers who worship him in spirit and truth. Okay. Jesus also made when you statements to larger groups of people, like
this one. Jesus said in John 8, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. Can you think, on the day of Jesus' crucifixion, can you think of a person or a group of people that Jesus' when you statement is speaking about, that was fulfilled for them? He says, there comes a time when the Son of Man is lifted up, and then you will know that I am he. Can you imagine anyone who actually made that statement on the day Jesus died? The Roman centurion, okay? In Matthew it says, the Roman centurion and those with him said, surely he was the Son of God. They saw how he died. They saw what was going on. They saw that the earth was blackened, wasn't it? The sky was dark and there was no sun. They said, surely he was the Son of God. So that when you statement was fulfilled for those people right there and then. Now, Jesus spoke of another when you prophetic word to another larger group of people who would be around about 40 years later. Here it is. Luke 21, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. And when did that happen? Yeah, AD 70, 40 years after Jesus' death and his resurrection and ascension, Romans surrounded Jerusalem and not one stone was left unturned. They just decimated, didn't they? So Jesus' statement there was about a group of people who would be around then. And he says, when you see Jerusalem, and they did, and then they would obviously remembered his words and thought, Jesus warned us, didn't he? He told us. Okay, how about the when yous that Jesus spoke of to people far off in history? Okay, one of those is in Mark 13. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Are we seeing Jesus' when you prophecy in our time? Crikey, more than ever. Eh? The end could be nearer than we think. Okay. And then there's a when you statement of Jesus made to a specific mass of people that has yet to be fulfilled. I think the only when you statement of Jesus that has yet to be fulfilled. Do you know what that is? Any ideas? Luke 12. Jesus said this. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Meaning his second coming. Do you know, Jesus came once to be our Savior, and then he resurrected and ascended, and now he's going to be coming again at the end of the earth as we know it, to be Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the mighty judge of all mankind. And he said, when that day happens, and an hour when you do not expect him. Could this be the generation of people that Jesus is making this when you statement about? Could the return of Jesus happen in your lifetime? Yeah, you might hope so. Are you one of the when yous? When Jesus comes back, when you at least expect him? Okay? Is Jesus talking about you? Well, the real question is, are you ready? If he is talking about you and Jesus will come back when you don't expect him, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him as your Lord and Savior? Are you in Christ? Jesus says, you got two options. You die in your sins and face judgment and punishment for eternity in hell, or you die in Christ and you live forever with life with us, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So are you ready? It's a bit like the parable of the virgins, isn't it? The 10 virgins. What's the song? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Yeah, are you like that? Yeah, are you the wise virgins who got oil in their lamps? They got their relationship with God. They've got the Holy Spirit. Or are you the ones that they didn't and it was too late and they were locked out? Are you ready? Is this prophetic
when you statement about you. Are you ready? And I think this is the only one of Jesus' when you statements that has yet to be fulfilled. All his others, when you statements at some time have been fulfilled by some time or some, by someone at some time. And in the meantime, going back to Jesus' when you statements about fasting. Next slide. There we go. Jesus says, when you fast. And then he just described what your fasting should be done and how it should look like. Okay? When you fast. Does this prophetic when you statement about fasting made by Jesus include you 2,000 years later? Ooh. Is it? Okay. Is your Savior and your Lord talking about you? Do you want to prove him right? Or do you want to prove him wrong? Yeah? When you fast. Now, if you're cautiously thinking that he's just talking about his original group of disciples and those in the crowd when he says, when you fast, then just consider that either side of this when you statement, he made two other when yous, didn't he? He said, when you pray, and when you give. Now, I'm assuming that the average Christian 2,000 years later eagerly hopes and accepts that Jesus' when you statement about when you pray includes you. Do you hope that? You expect that when Jesus said when you pray, that includes me. Yeah? And when Jesus said when you give, maybe not as eagerly, but you think, yeah, that includes me. He wants me to give. And so, having cleared that up, that Jesus said when you includes fasting as well as giving and praying, are you going to be or become the amen, the so be it, to Jesus' prophecy of when you fast? It's a challenge, isn't it? Now, I haven't yet taught and looked in the Bible about what actually is fasting. What does fasting involve? Is it just going without food? How long and when? Does it include more than just food? Well, we'll get there. But what I think is important, and the way I think the Lord has led me in discovering this for myself, is that you need to know, first of all, why. Because if I tell you Christians should go without food and maybe other things as well, you think, oh, I don't know about that. But if I tell you all this stuff beforehand, who here is ready to learn more about fasting? Yeah? Now, yeah, thank you. Now that you know, this is talking about me. These are the benefits. This is something that Jesus is expecting and calling and the Father's delighted with. Then tell me more, Lord. Tell me more. Okay. So we won't tell you any more this morning. If you want to know a bit more about fasting before we discuss stuff, then Gavin and Glenda, who came a couple of weeks ago for our discipleship weekend. There are still some copies of his appointment with Jesus, the book that one of the books he wrote quite a while ago now. And in it, there is a whole chapter on fasting. Now, they're experienced in fasting. And so if you wanted to get ahead, it is £10. They're printed by himself, so he's paid out of his own money. So if you want one of these books and you've got 10 quid on you, come and get it from the front. If you haven't got 10 quid on you but you'd like one, and you can afford £10, just tell me. And if you can't afford it, genuinely, but you would really, really love to, well, know more about Jesus, not just about fasting, then come tell me and take one, okay, for free or whatever it is you can afford, all right? So, let's pray. They'll be at the front. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you've made wonderful, wonderful when you statements about us. Wonderful, wonderful promises, wonderful, wonderful challenges as well, Lord Jesus. But we know we're not alone in this. When we pray, when we give, when we fast, when we do all the things that Holy Spirit inspires us and encourages us and convicts us to do, it's not in our own strength. It's not in our own wisdom. It's by your Spirit. You help us every step of the way when we yield and surrender to your amazing love, your amazing grace, your amazing salvation. Father, I pray that if anyone here is not yet ready to meet you, whether it's when Jesus returns or whether it's when we pass from this earth and we stand in judgment, Father, I pray that every person here would understand what Jesus did for them when he died to take their sin, their punishment, so that they could choose to receive Jesus as their Savior and gratefully receive that forgiveness and hand over that guilt, recognize their sin, and be grateful. Lord Jesus, thank you for being so obedient to die on the cross and then offering us that eternal forgiveness and being the Lord of our life, not just in heaven, but to come by your Spirit to live in our hearts and to lead us all the way home forever and ever. Amen.